Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Phoenix. Please welcome a man who yesterday went to Harry Potter World, and when he got home he found that £350 had magically disappeared from his account. It's Richard Herring! I put it down, I'm going to take it on. Hello, my fine friend! Hello, we're back. We're back, it feels... the Phoenix. Yeah, the Phoenix. It's this. We don't need the Leicester Square Theatre. Fuck them. It feels like a long time since we've done one of these, but, you know, for people at home, it's just a week. So welcome. Welcome to Richard Herring's Loitering in Soiled Toilets podcast. So, guys, I'm new. I take celebrities, I take them into dirty toilets. We wait around. I don't have told the guys that's what's happening. Though I was talking to the fans of Twitch of Fun before the show. It's not a pleasant sight. They call it Rahelastapus. I don't know if that's going to catch on. Lovely to be back at the Phoenix. We're in a new notebook. I nearly bought another Harry Potter one, which, because it was 10 years since I last, it was basically 10 years since I last went to Harry Potter World, and I was an adult with no kids, and this time I went with kids, that's better. And I bought the Slytherin notebook, and I was upset it cost about 15 quid. But then I sold it on eBay for over about 1,300 quid. So, you know, take that, J.K. Rowling. So that's... Fortunately, I didn't get the money, but that's not the point. So the new notebook is one that I've had for ages, which is cool, 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 from off of the popular sitcom Community. Remember that? It's too good to be a book, but there we go. And what am I going to talk to you about this week? Oh, I'm going to talk to you about my wife. My wife loves... my wife, Katie Wilkins, you may know her from Drunk Women Solving Crime. Do listen to their podcast. She loves Twinings breakfast tea. That's the only tea she'll drink. She's changed since when I met her. She would drink whatever you bloody gave her. Now she's got expensive tastes. And it was my job to buy tea, apparently. I didn't know this. And it had run out. And so I said, I'll go to there's a little shop in town. I went into my village and they didn't have it. So then I was taking the kids their drama lessons. So I went to M&S to see if they had it, but they had M&S brand. She liked English breakfast. It has to be the English breakfast tea. And they had M&S English breakfast tea. I thought, can I risk that? Or she'd be out. I thought, I better not, because she's obsessed. When I married her, one of the vows was that I would never let her run out of her favourite tea. And that if I did, I had to go and buy her some more. Seemed oddly specific at the time. And but 10 years later, I fell into the trap. she refused to have the vow about obeying me in the vow. So I don't know why I agreed to it. Anyway, They didn't have an M&S, so I walked up the road. It was really hot. Took me 5 minutes out of my day. Went to Sainsbury's. They had Twinings tea. They had loads of Twinings tea, and they had big 160 tea bag boxes of English breakfast tea. So I bought two of those as a kind of sarcastic gesture. It's 320 tea bags. I don't have to do it for another year. I noticed there are quite a few options of regular tea, including one called Everyday Tea, which is a yellow instead of an orange box. And I wondered what the difference was between this. Basically just tea, right? Everyday tea and breakfast tea. Then I was thinking, had I got it right? Was it English breakfast you liked, or was it everyday tea? I was pretty sure it was English breakfast, but the confusion in my mind, I came up with a brilliant prank to play on my wife. I texted her. I said, I've got so much tea, I hope it's the right one. And then she texted back, Twinings English breakfast, can't be wrong, ? So I said, what about Twinings every day? And she replied, well, that's not English breakfast, falling into my trap. I was giggling like an idiot at how gullible she was and how very mildly annoyed she would be at this exact moment. Hopefully it's nice, she said, trying to make the best of the bad news, but she couldn't cover up what a devastating blow this was. Did you get English breakfast too? She asked. Her world had fallen apart. It would have been cruel to take it any further. So it was time to rip off the false beard covering my actual beard. And I texted, lucky I got English breakfast then. You've been punked. So I punked her. That's why I'd enjoy that. If the producers of Punk to read it are listening and would like to use that punk, get in touch. So to be fair, I've pretty much explained how it works now. So you can just steal the whole thing wholesale. And then if I complain, you can just say, you've been punked. That's the problem with the punked, guys. Look out for the punked. The punkter had become the punked. My wife must have felt like a proper Charlie, though I forgot the bit where you're supposed to film their reaction for comic effect. She tweeted me, wow, very funny. This is how we keep our marriage alive, through mutual laughter. That's mute them, laughter, twining. You can use that one if you want, kids at home. Right, we're going to crack straight on. My guests this week are probably best known, one of them for their appearance in Chocky Waka... You would mess this up. In Chocky Waki Doodah. And the other, although he was in Chocky Waki Doodah, is not best known for that. The other one is best known for All-Star Mr. and Mrs. I was surprised to find out either of these guys were married, I have to say. And will you please welcome the incredible Dick and Dom, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. Dick and Dom. Hello.
Oh, thanks. Hello. Oh, what a terrible start. I've just thrown beer all over my chair.
Oh, for God's sake.
Quick, Dom, lick it off.
Oh, it's in fact, she's got your pint now. That's worrying, isn't it?
That's expensive beer there.
Stop the chair.
Right. Absolutely. And you'll be absolute chaos. Well, it's like two Brian Blesseds.
It's nice to be in the Phoenix again. We played here many years ago.
Yeah.
And they say you play the Phoenix twice in your career, once on the way up and once on the way down. It's good to be back.
Good evening. Love to see you, fellas. Thanks for coming along.
Oh, look, here's Ben. Oh, look.
Thank you, Mr. Producer. Wow. Save it for later.
He's rubbing Dick's seat. And thank you for sitting in order so that I can remember which one's which. Yeah. That is very good.
Ant and Dave.
Without the money.
Yeah. Someone said to us, well, you know, what's the big difference between you guys and Ant and Dec? And so we said, about £40 million.
There's still time, guys. There's still guys.
There's not.
They Ant and Dec, when they were still PJ and Duncan, were on my double. We did a double act show called Fist of Fun with Stuart Lee.
Yep.
We had them on when they were PJ and Duncan in boxes jumping out. We never get. And then we went on their show, the PJ and Duncan sketch show.
Were you on that? Were you on that?
Yeah.
When they shaved kids' heads?
I think it was even before that. I think they did a Channel 4 sketch show that didn't go very well. Nearly destroyed their career.
Then
they came back, and I think they can't. Maybe it was the one with the shaved heads, but they came back. Well, we're not here to talk about Ant and Dec or Trevor and Simon or...
Well, you actually wanted Ant and Dave, but they're too expensive, so you got us instead.
We'll get them eventually. Do you remember, both of you are on Chocky Wocky Doodah, do you remember much about that experience?
When you just said that, yeah, it brought back memories. We actually delivered a cake to David Cameron.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
In Downing Street.
Yeah. Wow.
And that gave him the idea for Brexit, apparently. So it was all our fault.
Why did we do it? Why would we get set that challenge?
Because someone paid us.
You won't know that. But why were we giving a Chocky Wocky Doodah cake to David Cameron? I
can't
remember.
I don't know.
Imagine if that had been poisoned. It could have been like the Manchurian candidate. They tricked you into...
Weirdly, back to the Ant and Dec thing. When we arrived at Downing Street with this massive chocolate cake made by Chocky Wocky Doodah, we delivered it, and we thought we were just going to deliver it, have a quick photo and leave. Suddenly we arrive at this big family Christmas party at Downing Street.
Yeah. Controversial.
Not that one. And so we arrive, and suddenly we have to stand there next to the cake whilst loads of cherubs start doing carol singing next to us, being watched by David Cameron and Anton Deck.
And then Bonnie Langford pops out the cake.
It was very odd. Career highlight.
Yeah, I'm glad I chose it. You were in All Star Mr. and Mrs. How did you get on All Star Mr. and Mrs.? Do you remember?
Very badly.
Did you?
Actually,
but he made lots of money, didn't you?
Yes, it was quite obscenely paid, well paid job. But anyway, the reason why I went down very badly is one of the questions was, I think Sandy, my wife, was in another room. She couldn't hear. There was music on, and they said to me, "We're going to ask your wife in a moment the question: who is Dom's best friend?" At which point she said, Dom would say me.
She's never spoken to him since.
Yeah, it really wasn't a great moment.
Yeah.
She'd just given birth to our first child as well. So anyway, yes, thanks for bringing the back up.
Yeah, he just shouted out dick. So... No, let's not start that. We get so many, you know, when we're in shows or something, people always put that in the dick jokes in the script. We're like, no, it's my name. Stop it. Silly.
Well, you were originally called Richard and Dominic.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
So what brought about the change between... Well, how did you... Did you just meet in the broom... I mean, that sounds weird. You met in the broom cupboard.
You both
worked in the broom cupboard.
Yeah.
Or a CBBC.
Yeah, we both just moved from home at like 18 years old, and we actually met in the Green Tea Bar at BBC Television Centre.
You remember the Green Tea Bar?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've actually... When BBC was being dismantled, I nicked the Green Tea Bar sign. Right. And I've ripped it off, and it's now in my office, because that's where we actually first met, over a baguette. But we were both working with a puppet aardvark called Otis the Aardvark. Anyone remember Otis? Oh, a lot of Otis fans. He's the next guest. And and so we were working there, and then the producer of the broom cupboard, the kind of head of the broom cupboard, who actually years ago used to be Gordon the Gopher as well. Less love for Gordon. he noticed that we were getting on really well, and I was moving into his house share because there was a room going, because my brother, who's here tonight, had just got married and I was living with him. So he wanted to kick me out. So I moved out and lived with him, and we had a great time and really got on as mates. And then we started working on air together, not as a proper double act, but you know when you see two presenters together?
Yeah.
We were just working really well together. And then something happened.
Yeah, well, then one of the props guys who used to look after the props at the BBC, he always used to walk down the corridor, and when we were walking towards him, he'd go, "Here they come, like fucking Dick and Dom." that was his nickname for us, and we went, "That's it, mate. There's the moneymaker."
Yeah. If only you'd kept the fucking in there as well. We're fucking Dick and Dom. Got a problem with that? Squares.
Fucking Dick and Dom in the bungalow.
The legend of fucking Dick and Dom. Diddy fucking Dick and Dom.
I think that it is better. Richard and Dominic would have been a little... And it sounds like it's a sort of Victorian...
It doesn't fall off the tongue. It doesn't.
But the strange part about that is when we were Richard and Dominic, we were really straight, nice, warm, charming presenters. And now look what's happened.
Did anyone used to see him on the afternoons on Children's BBC with the aardvark? And he used to introduce programmes like Blue Peter and Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yeah. And he was really lovely and nice. Yeah. But then the bungalow came about.
Yeah.
And it just kind of... We had this producer who was in charge of it. And he was brilliant. He was like the puppet master. And he kind of encouraged us to be a lot more ourselves on screen rather than being professional presenters. And that was where it really worked for us.
Yeah.
And that's kind of made us different from all the other presenters.
Yeah, because it's, I mean...
There's some rawness to it.
But yeah. It is the rawness, but it's because it, watching... You were a little bit after me. I watched CBeebies for much too long, but not quite that long.
Yeah.
So you're a little bit... I was aware of you, but I've watched a lot of your stuff in the last couple of days. And it's, you know, it reminds me of Tiz Was,
yeah,
which
yeah,
was the so, show that yeah. I absolutely... That's the show that got me into comedy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's that same sort of level of anarchy and sort of inappropriateness
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's still you can't censor because there's nothing actually... I was watching you being given birth to at the back of a cow.
Yes, a cow, that's right.
Today.
Yes.
Which slipping up on his afterbirth.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were kids sort of walking. There was red yeah. stuff on the ground and the kids yeah. were sort of walking around.
On it. Yeah.
And I felt this is inappropriate, but it's hard to put your finger on. It's
like, on why?
If I was yes. the censor, I yeah. couldn't go, there's a man coming out the back end of a cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's very cheerful about it. It's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
There's a man pulling him out.
It's funny.
We
isn't
still,
it?
You know, when we watch clips like that, we don't think it's ourselves doing it. So we still howl at stuff like that because you're like, how did we get away with this on BBC One? You know.
But I think the interesting thing about it is that back then, because we were riding the wave of success, it was just the momentum was perpetual and it was so wonderful that we stopped caring about any kind of consequence.
Yeah.
We didn't care if we got in trouble or got told off by anyone. And that, again, made it even more attractive to watch because you saw two people who just didn't give a shit
yeah.
about you know any kind of hierarchy, telling off any kind of rule book. We knew where the boundary was. We knew where the line was. We knew not to step over that line because if you do that, you get in a lot of problems and you can be off air like that.
Yeah.
So we knew not to do that, but we just knew that we could push it as far as we wanted. And when you watch Tiz Was... that was the same vibe. You see, Chris Tarrant, he was just like, he was in control, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He just didn't care.
He didn't care, and he sort of seemed not to... The same, he seemed not... He wasn't trying to get in with the kids, and that's the way... You know, he was quite rude to them. And,
yeah.
And you know, they're coming in and pretending to throw up, and as they're coming through your door, the kids yeah. and all that. So it's exactly what you want from kids. And you can just see from the kids who are in the shows,
yeah.
who are now all presumably about 25 yeah, years old.
Some have got yeah, their own kids. Yeah.
they're all, you know, they're just loving it because you're behaving in this anarchic way that yeah. just that yeah. an adult shouldn't do.
Well, that's yeah. it. There've been so many Saturday morning programs which were all great, you know, going live and kicking all that, and we thought, right, let's try and do something different, like Tiz Was. Mm. So the producer of the Bungalow, Steve Ride, he was a massive fan of Tiz Was, and he said, come on, let's try and start something like that again.
Now, a wonderful director, Simon Hepworth, who's a massive fan of this podcast, came up with the vision of a new chaotic and anarchic Saturday morning show.
That's the direction we went in. There was no bands selling anything. There was no, you know, nobody was trying to promote things. It was just about having a laugh.
Yeah. I remember actually when I was a kid, I loved Tiz Was, and I would watch, when we moved to Somerset, Tiz Was wasn't on in Somerset. Ah. So I had to watch Swap Shop, which I was annoyed about. Yeah. But I remember the other day, I wrote to Swap Shop saying, not all kids like pop music. Can you stop putting pop music in? I didn't like pop music. I just wanted it all to be comedy. But
you put a stamp on the yeah. envelope and you sent it. That's amazing.
That'll work.
That's reminded me of some of the letters that we used to get complaints, points of view. You know, we used to get letter after letter, week after week. And I think there was a letter about the cow one, actually. My enjoyment of BBC One this morning was marred by the cow giving birth to the presenter.
We got a lot of complaints.
But you got into you were mentioning the House of Commons.
Yeah,
and
we did. We were the second only children's programme to be mentioned or to be raised in the House of Commons. There was an MP called Peter Luff who had caught his daughter playing one of the games on the CBBC website that was connected to the bungalow.
The game was called Make Dick Sick. Just to let you know.
Yeah.
So he was in the House of Commons standing up. I don't think it's a very good use of the licence fee for my daughter to be playing games called Make Dick Sick. I bet that's never been said in the House of Commons before.
So what happens the next week on the bungalow? We do a big parody of Question Time with a piece of fluff instead of Peter Fluff, a Peter Luff. So we've got a piece of fluff talking with his voice. And it was great. And that was the joy of doing the live, yeah. is that you could just roll with whatever was happening. And
yeah.
I was listening to another podcast all about the Chris Evans Breakfast Show and it was a very similar thing. It was yeah. they were just rolling with the success and just going with it. All those successful TV shows like that, the TFI, Big Breakfast, you know, they just captured, they had momentum and they just yeah. went with it.
Even yeah. Noel Southport, you could say as well, shows like mm-hmm. that, you know. But... No, but it's that kind of same vein of stupidity, you know.
Next question.
All right, sorry. He wasn't a fan.
And let's talk about bogeys.
Oh yes, got it. Stay it, leave it.
No, let's get out of the way. One, two, three.
Bogeys! Oh, 10 out of 10.
Which yes. Again, I just watched about 5 in a row of today, and it's very funny. It's very funny, and I can see. And I don't think you've done. I mean, maybe you do it on tour now, but you haven't really done it for 15 years.
No, let me tell you, Richard. When you get it shouted at you 5 times a day.
We still find it funny.
It's still really funny.
Well, you sort of deserve it because what's funny about it is, again, it's your two childish men. I think when it's really funny, it's in a library where you definitely shouldn't be doing it. There's one in, we just mentioned it backstage, but when you're in a lecture and the lecturer is going, if you've got something to say, can you say it?
Yeah.
And it's really wrecking
actually,
a proper...
Actually, on that one, even the students were a bit peed off, weren't they? Because they wanted to... Whatever the lesson was, I can't remember what it was, but they wanted to, you know, learn that day.
Yeah, of course.
And then we both walk in.
Okay. So there was You didn't go in and say, we're going to do this thing. It'll take 10 minutes. You literally...
No.
Literally racked up and rolled. I mean, in the London Aquarium, wasn't it, where I creeped up behind this guy. I think I was quite a loud one at that point. And I was behind him and he was looking at some, I don't know,
fish.
Yeah. As you do in aquarium. And I, bogeys! And then he span round and he got a newborn on his front.
who then started screaming.
Screaming in my face, the guy screaming, had me up against the wall, calling me the maker of horror films and an absolute moron. So, yeah, well, there was a few close moments.
I mean, I'm surprised you didn't get... like punched though.
Well, we nearly did by one guy in the Lowry who went absolutely mental and nearly killed us. And our wonderful researcher Lucy had to kind of calm him down and just kind of calm down, sir. It's okay. Thank God for Lucy, otherwise he would have actually killed us.
But
it did get choppy, but also in other countries we played it European bogeys and where they didn't know who we were, what the hell was going on.
We did it in Paris, in France, and. We had worked out as a team that the word for bogeys was crotte de nerf. So we filmed it all. It went out on air.
Crotte de nerf.
Somebody actually called us 2 weeks after, said crotte de nerf actually translates as no shit.
Uh-oh.
Oh dear! Was the inspiration of this a stage manager who played a version of?
Well, he was a stage manager. He then became the producer and the creator of the bungalow, Steve. Right. Yeah, but he was a stage manager and he used to play it in the wings and they shout out bollocks instead of bogeys.
Right.
And they realised that you had to make a new word up. But and then we can remember it really clearly because it was doing well on the digital channel before it went to BBC One. And he just said, "I've got this idea, lads. Just go with it. See how it ends up." Just go to Madame Tussauds and just take it in turns to say the word bogeys and get louder and just end up screaming it behind tourists. So we went, all right, potted down and that was it.
All the tourists that didn't know who we were, what the word was or why we were doing it.
But I think part of the success of bogeys, obviously it's a funny concept, it's very naughty and very rude, but the commentator... I think turning it into a sport was the genius behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was actually Steve again, the producer. He did the whole voiceover because he's a voiceover artist, and that I think made it.
Yeah,
I agree. It is, and it's but you know, and I think it's just desserts that you still get that shouted at you, and when you both die,
yes,
well they'll just go. You know,
I was just about to say the worst email we got was actually from a funeral director saying we actually play it during. Funerals.
What? No! Wrong!
Yeah,
but that will be your obituary, won't it?
I think it will trend number one on Twitter.
It will.
Yeah, and bogeys.
On Radio 2, Radio 4, they'll say Dom Wood.
Yes.
Best.
Why do I go
best
first?
Best known. You're going first. Best known for shouting bogeys. A man best known for shouting bogeys. Yeah. That's going to be your obituary.
That'll be it.
Are you happy with that, guys?
Not really.
Is that a life well lived?
That's it. I've achieved so many other bloody things. We did Radio 1 for a year and a half. Yeah. Does that count? Nope.
Good. No, well,
we'll never live it down.
I know you're touring, so we'll talk about that. So is the tour show, is it the bungalow show?
Yeah.
Exactly the same. We're not changing it at all. It's just going to be everything you know and love and remember on the telly, on the stage.
Right.
Because, we're not, you know, people are saying, well, it's for the millennials, I suppose. They're the people that are going to buy the tickets, the 20 to 35-year-olds. So are you going to, like, blew it up or anything? No, they don't want that. They just want to see what they remember. That's why they're coming.
Yeah. And that's what I like about this, because, again, I said this backstage, but a lot of... a lot of people who have success as kids entertainers, they'll be 20 or 30 years down the line, and Keith Harris is what the example you mentioned would do a sort of blue show his audience has grown up. But you've retained your audience, but also they're the next probably couple of generations of family
that will come along and see it. So there was a great example of what you're talking about, where my first show that I did at the BBC was with a presenter called Peter Simon. Do you remember Peter Simon?
I do.
He did Run the Risk and
Shopping Channel.
Yeah, he's on the Shopping Channel. It's still hilarious to watch. Absolutely brilliant. But he did a stand-up show, which was very risque, and he named it, because his name was Peter Simon, he called it Blue Peter. And it was just so rude, and he got told off.
Apparently. Yeah.
Yeah, so no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to turn up on stage and suddenly the neighbour's cat that was a puppet isn't going to come out of the cat flap with a drug problem or anything like that. It's going to be as you all remember it.
Yeah, which is great, which is terrific. And are you going to have contestants? Another contestant's going to be adults or children or whoever?
It'll be a mixture because we're saying, you know, bring your families. It's not just for those millennials. It's actually, you know, bring your kids if you've got them and they'll love it too, hopefully. So, yeah, there'll be a mixture on stage, probably mainly millennials, and that'll be interesting because they've all had a few beers. So they'll be the ones going for it.
But you've done tours before. You did the Edinburgh Fringe, which a few years ago in a massive venue.
2018, that was scary. McEwen Hall's like 1,000-seater. And we were like, what? We've got to try and sell this. Dick V. Dom, it was our comedy game show, and in the same vein as the Bungalow. But yeah, it sold really well, sold out a lot of days, didn't it? And then we did a one-off 11 o'clock at night show in the Purple Cow. Yeah. And everyone had a few drinks, and we just did the same show, and everyone just went nuts for it. So that kind of gave us the idea for the Bungalow, you see.
Yeah. And who came up with the Bungalow? Because I know, was it, do you know who it was? I know that
We do. It was, there were some bosses, I think it was Nigel Pickard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who was there. He created the CBBC digital channel and the CBeebies digital channel. A great guy, and we worked with him when he was over at CITV. And we were doing the weekend shifts anyway, in between all the programmes. So we would link all the programmes together. At the weekend, hardly any viewers, but we were having a good time doing it. We're doing it with Steve. And then he said, why don't we turn these links into a show so it's not just more links? Let's give you a weekend show in the morning. So we said, okay, fair enough. And then they sat around the table and all got drunk and started thinking up names.
As they do at the BBC.
Yeah. and they thought about, you know, Ali G was big at the time in the house.
I think they thought of Dick and Dom in the house, but no, so someone just got even more pissed. Dick and Dom in the Bungalow! Yay!
And that was it. But but when it had started, there was never any plan. Because we got interviewed the other day. Jonah said, you know, what did you do to start off making something so successful? And we didn't have any massive plan to make it a big success. We just started. And just started with literally no viewers at all. And just it just kind of found itself. And the more we started enjoying it as people with the crew and the team, then the audience at home started enjoying it. And then it just kind of snowballed.
Because it was on the digital channel first, and then it kind of got...
Well, yeah, there was an interesting story about that, is that when it had really gained momentum and people in the industry were starting to talk about it, Nigel, the boss of CBBC, then went to become the head of ITV and said, look, SMTV is going to finish. Remember that? We'd like to bring you guys over to ITV to now front the brand new ITV Saturday morning show to take over from that.
Right.
And so we did three pilots with production companies. We said to the BBC, look, we're going to go over to ITV because they're offering us a really good deal and to do a show over there. And they said, we can't. Well, what do you want to do? We said, we want to do the Bungalow on BBC One or we're going. They went, no. We said, by then, they went, okay, right, do the Bungalow on BBC One. So it kind of, it wasn't fully supported to begin with,
right.
But then it was a good job it happened, really, for them.
Yeah.
And us.
And to an extent for you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Yeah. Let me ask some emergency questions.
Yes, please.
I'm going to try some new ones out of the program that I've never asked anyone these. There was one of them made me laugh. Let me see if I can find it. If Dick and Dom, if you could burn one building to the ground without harming anyone or being prosecuted for arson, which edifice would you torch?
Edifice?
House.
Yes.
Building.
I know. Yeah. I just like the word.
Is there any building that you would like to see consumed by fire?
Fire.
Building.
Edifice.
Should we just read the question back?
You think you've got it all?
Yeah, no, we've got it all. Come on then, one building that we could burn down. Crikey.
Your mum's house?
And
the in-laws?
Hey. We'll come back to you on that.
Okay. Yeah. You might have an answer for this one. I accidentally elbowed Denise Van Outen in the face on Channel 5 Celebrity Game Night. Yes, my career is going well. Thanks for asking. What is the worst injury you have directly or indirectly caused to a celebrity or person of renown? The worst injury to the most famous person scores the most points. Did you ever injure a guest during...
I don't think it was an injury as such, but do you remember the kind of slop we had on the bungalow, the creamy muck, the custard? Yes. That got flung around a lot. And Jim Bowen was in one day, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he was in the... We had a cage in the corner in the basement. He was in this cage. He had to be locked in the cage for the whole 3 hours of the show. And what you do? You do the...
Well, he just said, listen, lads, I've got a brand new suit on. I'm going to a wedding in a bit. Do us a favour. Throw whatever shit you want around. Just don't get the suit, okay? Don't get the suit. At which point, we do this. Get the suit. So, got a big jar of milkshake, looked at him in the eye, went, all over his suit, stood up, walked off the show. He was gone. But I think there was an injury that
was
happened.
There an injury?
I don't think we did it. I only just remembered this incident. And there were kids having a custard pie fight, which is lovely and white, right? And one kid smacked another kid in the face really hard. So we didn't do it. It could have been us, but I don't think it was. And then suddenly, against this white, this thin trickle of red just flying down. At which point, put the plate back. So, yeah, I don't think we did that. Yes, it was definitely another child, yes.
Okay, good. Well, look, and I want to talk about the legend of Dick and Dom, which had an amazing cast. You had a lot of big names in that show.
One of your good friends, yes. Mr. Blessed, was on one of the shows. He played our father.
Yeah.
Now, that was an interesting filming day, let me tell you.
Oh, my God.
A scene that should have taken 1 hour took 6 hours before lunch.
So he arrived. There was great excitement when we found out that we were basically playing princes. Princes Dick and Dom. Don't know how they came up with their character names, but they did. And then in the second series, they thought, they're into the storyline, let's get the king, our dad, cast. And so they turned around to us, and with great excitement, as you share the excitement of finding out that Brian Blessed is going to be part of your show, we were like, he's going to be arriving soon. Oh, my God, this is so exciting. I wonder if he's going to be the same. And he was. So the first thing that happened was he was down being talked to by the producer. And I walked down. Rich was doing another scene. So I walked down in this blue robe. And I think I'm going to be nice and professional and introduce myself. So I go, hello, Brian. My name's Dom. Lovely to see you. Thanks for coming on the show. He points at me and goes, who the fuck is that? I go, my name's Dom. I'm part of Dick and Dom. And then we introduce him to the rest of the cast and bring him upstairs. And I go, this is Rich. And he goes, oh, yes, the weak one. So
cool.
You get this.
Don't nod your head.
And then he points at a wonderful comedian you know called Steve First,
oh, yes,
who's a good friend of ours, right, Steve First? And he has got no hair here and a good size yes, nose, which he will tell you himself. And he points at him, his character name, Steve's character name was Manitol the Wizard. And he goes, there he is.
I can't say nothing, can I?
The fucking... Beep! See Manitol with his
no,
bald,
it doesn't work.
So with his bald head and his penis nose.
But the thing with him is, when you've kind of gone through all that with him, he then just goes onto veers off onto a completely different story about climbing Everest and the French and the French shitting on him from above. And,
believe oh me, God. I know, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, you've heard it. Yeah, he's done that one to you.
You don't have to tell me. Yeah. Was Terry Jones?
Yeah, well,
he
actually narrated it, which was amazing. Oh, right. He was actually a friend of a friend of our production manager's, and the production manager needed a favour off this friend, and da da da. And we got Terry Jones narrating the whole series. Oh, I mean, you know, God bless his soul, what a comic!
He hadn't actually done anything really since Python in terms of on screen or voice. I know he'd written loads of amazing books and loads of great films and stuff, but he had kept himself a low profile. And I don't know how it happened, but our production manager, he could wrangle anything from anyone. He was one of those guys, right? And he suddenly said to us, guys, I've got Terry Jones narrating the show. We were, oh, my God. And we never usually do geeking out, but when we, in one of his voiceover sessions, we said, could we turn up and just meet him and have a photo? Because you had to, right?
Yeah,
Terry Jones. And we did. We've got the photo hanging up in our houses, and it was an amazing moment. Yeah, great guy.
Cool. Well, is that available? Is it all on YouTube? Someone somewhere did it.
Yeah. we know lots of those people.
We can catch up with that. That'd be fantastic. Yeah. So you guys seem to quite like each other.
It's gone all right.
It's gone all right.
We've been each other's best men. We're godfathers to each other's children. We go on holiday together. We're going to Glastonbury together. We haven't kissed each other, but
there's always time.
There's always time.
Been building up to it. There's a lot of tension between the two of you. I think this might be the time to do that. Is that easy? Have you ever argued? Have you ever disagreed about stuff?
Maybe a bit in the middle where we got, you know. But now we're in our mid-40s. We don't care anymore. We just get on with it. We just, you know, understand each other. We know we're both different, very different.
Being in a double act is, you know, you've been in a double act.
I've done it, yeah.
It's hard. It's hard work.
Very hard work. It's
it is. And I think the secret for us has been to understand each other and to understand each other's differences and to talk. I think that's the most important thing. So we can tell when each other is a little bit twitchy about a subject, and then we now talk about it. And that's the most important thing. Yeah. So we're completely open. Otherwise, nothing gets sorted and it all just goes weird.
Yeah. It's difficult, but also when doing, you know, being such a being always together and being so renowned for doing this, you know, let's call it what it is. It's quite childish what you do, guys. I hope that's not insulting. I sort of find with double acts, and this is the thing I thought with our double act as well. You know, it goes through maybe a sticky period where you're maybe in your 30s, maybe in your 40s, where you think. But then I think if you can get out through that bit,
yes,
it sort of gets funnier and funnier the older you get.
Which is where we're at.
Right. Because we had a little period of that.
Yeah.
I think it was around about 12 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
But both of us were going through very difficult personal circumstances. And then you would get annoyed and then friction would happen like that between each other because you're getting frustrated about the other things. But then, like you said, we sailed through that tiny little sticky patch.
Yeah.
And then it actually made it even better. Because you then have a full understanding of each other.
And I think, like, because, you know, say the Chuckle Brothers, which, you know, I'm not daring to say you're in the same league as those. But, you know, they're old men. I mean, in Morecambe and Wise as well, they're old men messing around acting like kids. And it becomes, I think, as a viewer, it becomes much funnier again as well.
That's
whereas
true.
This, yeah. I mean, you both...
You always said that actually we'll probably start to... kind of do make it more once we've kind of gone through the kind of middle age period. You know, you have your kind of rebel kind of don't give a toss period in your 20s. Then you go through the kind of weird 30s, kind of, then actually you look like funny old men.
Yeah. Yeah,
and actually, I think we'll be all right.
And you're up for that? You think you'll still be going 20? I mean, 20.
We don't know how to do anything else. Yeah. We haven't got any other credentials. We didn't get any
GCSEs.
Can't do anything.
Until one of us carks it, which probably isn't that long, really, is it? The amount of partying we've done over the years.
If one of you dies, if one of you is the Barry Chuckle, do you think the other will be able to? To carry on alone. I mean, we had Paul on last series, and he's doing fantastically.
He's doing good with his DJing.
He's
doing it. I probably wouldn't be.
Yeah, I think we close the shop door, don't we?
Yeah, close it. It's not just Dick.
Yeah, that's all it is.
What would the act be?
Just you always turning to a space next to you and just not saying anything.
I mean, you could do a sort of Samuel Beckett thing where you keep shouting bogeys and look, and then there's no one there to say it, and then you just cry. You cry a little bit.
Music.
In fact, I'm really hoping that happens.
Yeah,
I really want to see that. But you were going to go to university, right? And then you gave it up to be a runner at CBBC.
Yeah, I was going to go to Bournemouth, I think, to the media. Yeah, and then got offered a job as a runner at T-Boy at Children's BBC, and it went from there, really.
Yeah. So you this was always what you wanted to do.
Yeah, since we're both the same age, 12 years old, used to watch a lot of kids' TV and went, yeah, want to do that as a job. I don't know why we did. Why would you do, you know?
But we did. It just looked really
just
fun.
Just looked fun, yeah, I suppose.
Really
And our dreams came true, 5 years after that.
Wouldn't you wonder what would happen if he had just gone to uni and got a proper job?
Just an enormous proper job.
You'd been all right. Mm. But, you know, for me, it was a big breakfast. You know, watch that. You saw Chris Evans there with his tartan trousers and just the energy and the excitement. And it was, you know, when you, like me and Richard the same, we both didn't really find school that exciting or interesting or beneficial or relevant. And so when you see something like that, your brain just gets sucked into it. Then you develop tunnel vision. You just go, right, I'm going to do that. And that is the end of it.
Yeah. We're still lucky, though. I mean, God. There was thousands of people applying each month, wasn't there, for those jobs?
Yeah. Mm.
Well, we're lucky. There's the saying, which is, this business is hard to get into, but even harder to stay in.
So
having done 25 years, we're kind of really grateful to still be doing it.
I think especially, because, you know, it's a lot of people in children's TV, some are there to progress, I think, which in my day, when you were sort of in children's TV for life, and then the generator, so it's Philip Schofield maybe was the first person, and Anton Deck, I suppose, making that move through to...
There's been a lot of transition, you know, Holly Willoughby,
Stephen
Mulhern, Vernon Kay, Tess Day. They all came from kids' TV and have all done really well. What happened? Oh, that's right. They went over to ITV.
And you were a magician. You were the young magician, not the musician. Young magician. The young magician of the year, 94, somewhere around there.
Something like that, yeah.
But you've been... Are you back in the magic circle? You got thrown out?
I got thrown out for being a naughty wizard. No, on the bungalow, we had a section of the show where we revealed how to do tricks.
Yeah.
Nice thing. Nice segment for the kids, right? Where you can learn how to do magic. And the magic circle got very angry with me. And they actually said, we think you are bad. So you must come to the magic circle. And literally, this actually happened. You must come to the magic circle and apologise with your producer to the committee of big bearded wizard men and apologise. At which point I said, bollocks, I'm not doing it. So I handed him a notice and just left because I just thought it was so childish because what I was doing was a positive thing, was promoting it, and they just wanted to scapegoat me and so... Just saved 100 quid a year.
I mean, I presume it wasn't big tricks you were revealing, right? It was stuff that the kids could do.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. Yeah. It was, but...
Is the magic circle really a circle that you go to? That's why when you go and in trouble, are they sitting in a big circle above you?
That was the impression I got when we had to go and apologise. I did have a vision of a circular room with wizards all around us and them pointing their wands at us. There are circular elements to the building. There's a circular staircase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel very bad that they let you go out of the magic circle. That is very wrong. And you were from Devon, right? You were from Exeter.
Yeah, so you're Somerset.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We must have met in some kind of weird club somewhere with farmers. Farmers everywhere.
We might have done. We never. Well, I never really.
Where are you from in Somerset?
Cheddar. I grew up in Cheddar.
Oh, Cheddar. Yeah. Nice. Right on. Yeah. So I'm Exeter.
What, you actually from Exeter?
Yeah. Went to school in Somerset though. Oh yeah. Taunton.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Sent to boarding school. 20 minutes from my actual house.
Wow.
Thanks, Mum and Dad. Every now and then, I got to go home for a ex-yat weekend. At which point, I would have to walk to Taunton Station on my own, get on the train for 15 minutes, and then walk home to get home. Pick me up from school! It's not a big ask.
Well, a lot, you know, all the Tory government basically went to boarding schools and it screwed them up. You seem to have come out of it quite cheerful. Maybe that's the way to come out of it, not trying to destroy the country.
Dick and Dom to run the country, I'd say. Do a bloody better job, I can tell you that.
No, we don't do politics, remember.
Oh, yeah.
And was that school where Chris, you were at school with Chris Martin, right? Was that the school you were at school
with? Yeah, I went to a couple of schools with Chris Martin. Right. So he did quite well, I think, actually. And also did A-level music with Matt Bellamy, who's the lead singer for Muse.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
Your mum still knows Chris Martin's.
Chris
Martin's mum, yeah.
Yeah, they bump into each other and said they have a kind of a son-off.
Yes. I'd love to hear that conversation. How's your son? Well, he's just on a multi-billion pound worldwide selling tour. How's your son?
Out of work. Again.
Bogies.
Can you buy a candle that smells like his wife's vagina? Until that happens. I think someone from my... Was it Muse that someone from my... There's a best... Someone Besant was in a band. I think it might have been Muse. So there might be in a Kings of Wessex boy in Muse as well. I might be wrong about that. Nerds know? Chris Besson, I think he was called.
Chris. Yeah. There is a Chris in Muse.
Right, yeah.
Bass guitarist.
Yeah.
I
don't really know much about music. Chris. That's why I wrote... you remember when I wrote Scott Shop?
Of course.
Chris Martin would hate me. Can you get rid of all pop music from the television? Just comedy. And that's what we kids like, comedy. Kids like men. I've got an idea about just shouting bogeys. I was ahead of my time. And you were from Sheffield.
Yeah. Any other northerners in? Any of you got any northerners?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was born in Yorkshire, so I can pretend to be
been everywhere
with the yep. with Trevor when I want
the home of proper fish and chips. I don't know why is that. They always say the north is the home.
I've never heard that the Sheffield is the home of fish and chips.
Well, no, it's
knives and forks, but not fish and chips.
Stainless steel. Yeah, I suppose.
Cool. I'm going to ask you another emergency question.
We're going to go deep.
Still haven't answered that one about the building.
Have you thought the building would have burned down?
It's going to be the end of this episode of the podcast.
Oh, is it?
It's going to be a biggie.
What, have you thought of something?
Nope.
don't make it the Phoenix, because I don't think there's fire escape. So I think one's behind this wall, so watch out for that. If you, Dick and Dom, if you could go into a chrysalis like a caterpillar and emerge... As not necessarily together, but it can be together if you want. And you could be each other if you want. And you could emerge as anything you want. You can be a different person. You could just have changed into something else. But you can just change in your chrysalis into something else. What would you like to change into?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Lovely question.
Yeah.
So you go in as you.
Yeah.
Period of time.
Yeah. Come out.
Voila.
Well, I might go for going back on one of your previous episodes, Richard. I'd like to come out as a tit that flings out talcum powder.
I
think that would be quite a nice life, actually. Just being
that's basically what you are.
There we go. I walked into that one.
Have you got anything?
I can't top that, I'm afraid.
Can't top that.
Yeah, move on.
No point carrying on.
If you could go into Christmas and come out as each other, would you enjoy that? If you could swap over, if you could vice versa.
Ooh. For a moment. No, I'm not going into that darkness.
I'm not going into that darkness.
Good. I'm going to try another one from the never asked questions that I've never really looked at again.
Oh God.
Would you prefer to have odourless farts or self-cleaning teeth?
What farts?
Odourless farts.
Oh, odourless farts.
I've got quite a bad tummy at the moment, and I have to tell you, my farts are definitely not odourless. Don't If you'd been in the car with me on the journey here, you would know that. So I'm just
definitely self-cleaning teeth. It's so boring, isn't it? Cleaning teeth. Yeah, I love the smell of my farts. Do you?
I don't like the smell of your farts. We're traveling cars.
Everyone actually secretly goes, not bad.
That's a good,
8 out of 10. That
that's
one.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'm with him. Self-cleaning teeth.
Do you ever fart and not and be disgusted by your own farts? Do you ever get to that? Mine at the moment are.
What? Where they actually make you gag?
Yeah, they make that. Is that? Because they usually smell pretty good, and then you do one every now and again. And you just think, that's too much. Even I don't like that one.
We've got a mate, Bob, who without fail, every fart he does all day long, he records it. So he's getting it ready, gets the audio on, and WhatsApps at you.
Yep, every day.
Thanks, Bob.
Every fart he does, he records it.
Oh, cheers, mate.
I did one yesterday at Harry Potter World, and my daughter and my wife smelled it. And they said, oh, it's a terrible smell here. And I said, yeah, we're just by the toilets. I think it's through their toilets, so I'm very clean. They don't know, and I haven't let on. And unless they listen to this episode, they'll never know. I'll never know it was me. It was me all along. It was that bad it smelled like that was a good excuse. Yeah, you know the smell of a sewer?
Yeah.
Not just a single fart. Every shit that every kid has done in Harry Potter today, world today.
We filmed down a sewer once.
Oh, yeah, did you?
Did. Yeah, literally not far from here. Where was it? That's the square, wasn't
it? Around the corner,
yeah. Yeah, and we went down with Ron. Of course it was Ron. And we went down with Ron and we had to scrape all the fat off the walls of a sewer.
Yeah.
Think the smell of a sewer is shit, but it's not. It's just fat. It's disgusting down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you say your farts smell like sewers, they don't. They just smell like farts.
Okay. Thank you for that. I once saw Johnny Vaughan going down a sewer. Now, I've got no more information than that. Just saw him in the street. He was dressed up to go down a sewer, and he was going down a sewer. They never saw the show. Was this for a show, or was it just they made you Dick and Dom get him to clear some fat off the walls
with Ron?
They deserve it. Okay. Dick and Dom, what is the most unlikely thing you've ever seen up a mountain? You ever been up any mountains, good mountains recently? You mountaineering type of fellas?
I've not gone up many mountains. Oh, I did when I was on family holiday. My mum had an asthma attack. Is that good?
Yeah, that's all right.
What do you mean, is it good?
I mean, is it unlikely? Oh, did you?
Not really unlikely, is it?
No, if you knew your mum had asthma, it was probably a bad idea to send her up a mountain, wasn't it?
A bit selfish.
Yeah.
You see anything up a mountain?
Well, human turds recently, wasn't it, in the news a few months ago? During COVID, was it COVID? Snowdonia, and people, the toilets were closed because of COVID, so everyone just
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you never read that article?
No, what's the weirdest thing you've seen up a mountain?
No, I haven't said I wasn't walking up Snowdonia as well. I might have been there.
Did you see shit on a mountain?
No.
He's just trying to show off, to impress you. He's trying to impress
me. I've seen turds on the mountain. Look at me.
So you guys have done I'm quite obsessed with quiz shows, so you've done quite a few of the quiz shows.
Yeah, the Weakest Link was the most recent. That was repeated the other night, wasn't it, actually? I voted him off, which went down well.
Yeah, so we generally stay away from panel shows.
Yeah.
They scare us a bit. I once went on Would I Lie to You, and it was the worst experience I ever had.
Really?
Was,
because you've got to be funny, haven't you?
Yeah, you do.
You're upset because he didn't take you on. Is that where they didn't?
So I was on the show with Angus Dayton was hosting it
right back
really early
days.
First series. Ago, yeah. So I didn't know what I was walking into. There was Paddy McGuinness, Dave Mitchell. There was Lee Mack. There was just a whole host of really funny comedians. Yeah. And I went there on there, and you're just looking around you the whole time. And someone says, "Dom, what do you think of that?" You go, "Oh God!" Funny. Say something funny. Say something funny. You say something. It's not funny, and you go, "Oh, it's going to be cut out. This is awful." Anyway, it just went really badly. Luckily, they edited it in my favour. It wasn't too bad. But then when I walked out, and I literally, when you walked out as well, you had to walk out amongst the audience who were walking out as well, and no one spoke to me as if I was dog shit on their shoe. It was awful. And Angus Deaton said to me, "Thanks for coming on the show. Did you enjoy that?" And I looked at him and she went, "Not really." Because it was awful, but we do quiz shows. Quiz shows are okay.
Quiz shows we've done. Weak Sling, Pointless. What else have we done?
Eamon Holmes' Brain Game. Or something. Remember that one? That was Star Spell.
Star Spell. Yeah,
classics like that. But we also hosted our own quiz show, which was dog shit.
It was, oh, Ask the Family.
Ask the Family.
I found a load of VHS's of that.
Dick and fucking Dom's Ask the Family.
In my loft. I actually did send them to the tip.
For those of you who don't know, we during the bungalow, which was successful, we then got pitched by the BBC to bring back, which is always a big problem when someone says, let's bring back, right? A show that was hosted many years ago by...
Robert Robinson.
Robert Robinson, called Ask the Family. A national treasure, the show was, wasn't it? That ran for years and years and years. And we thought that it would be a good idea to do that. And it was going to be put out tea time, like 7 o'clock every day from Monday to Friday. So we thought, let's do this.
But we brought it back and punked it up a bit. We punked it
Well, it was just rubbish. We just did a really bad job of it. And because we tried to make it like the bungalow, but for the wrong audience.
So yeah.
Tea time, BBC Two, 7 o'clock. They didn't want what we were doing.
Got slated in the press, didn't they?
Yeah, it got slated, but it was being transmitted as we were recording it and getting slated as we were recording
it. I just remembered something else. Yeah, so then we went on LBC or something, didn't we?
James O'Brien.
Yeah, and I slated it. I said, oh, it's a TV, it wasn't produced right and stuff.
No, you said, your exact words were, he said, do you feel some kind of responsibility for destroying this national show? You went, not our fault, it's the BBC's fault.
At which point, Alan Yentov was on the phone, who was like the head of BBC at the time, going, I'm sorry, what was that?
No.
I had to write an apology letter to him, 2-page letter. I'm so sorry, Mr. Yentov.
We had to literally hand deliver a letter of apology to Alan Yentov.
And then we never worked for the BBC again.
Does he sit in a big circle as well? Does anyone? Where actually BBC TV Centre, it is a kind of circle, and he was sitting up the top.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Bring it up. It was. Bring it up the stairs.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Those flats go for a lot of money up in
BBC TV Centre. 2 million for a flat?
I saw $3 million. Considering the things that have happened in those rooms, it's amazing that anyone would. You'd think they'd be free, right?
Bulldoze it.
Actually, Blessed told us that story as well, didn't he? He said, I'm not waiting at the reception desk for them to tell me where I'm going. Just get in the lift, go up, walk into the sixth floor and go, Yentob! Give me a show! Maybe that was the way we should have done it.
Maybe it was. And so, apart from the tour, is it what do you see coming in the future?
What do we do? So what do we do? So mainly now, it's really exciting. They always say that it's got tossy things to say, but to stay in the business, you've got to keep reinventing yourself and doing new things. Otherwise, you become known for just doing one thing. So we always DJed for years when we lived together on vinyl in our house, had massive house parties. They were such good fun. And we used to have a checklist by the door, didn't they? When people used to come around to our house, we'd put their name, get them absolutely smashed, and then tick their name off the list when they couldn't walk.
Anyone for a party at Dick and Dom's later?
So we used to DJ a lot then, and we've always done it. And then suddenly we thought, let's just get into DJing in clubs and stuff. So, but for the kids that watched us when they were kids that are now clubbers.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do. So we play drum and bass and hard house and stuff in clubs all over the country, all of festivals everywhere. And we just did one a couple of days ago, and the place goes absolutely nuts.
So yeah, reinvention. But of course, we will always be remembered for just one thing.
But it's better.
Try our hardest.
It's better than being remembered for no things.
That's true. We were told once by one of the bosses of the BBC, you are actually a victim of your own success. The bungalow and bogeys, you know, you will never let it go.
But I think it's good to embrace it. I think, like, people who get up, you know, annoyed about people liking them. So if people are still, I know it's, you know, people still say moon on a stick to me, and I didn't even want a moon on a stick. It was stupid. Not all the time, but, you know, it means that people liked
they,
you.
They liked and, you. Know, which is so better than the opposite.
It's the little tax you have to pay for being liked is people shouting the thing. Which, admittedly, if you've just had an argument with your wife and...
And that's exactly when it happens.
Yeah,
when you're being a normal human. Yeah. You know, can you imagine, like, someone like Richard Wilson? How many times he goes, could I have, I'd like a pint of brandy, please? And they go, I don't believe it. It must be awful. You get it everywhere you go.
Must be, but if I see him, I'm definitely doing it.
Yeah, aren't we all? Yeah, exactly.
But no, you've always got to, no matter what's going on behind the scenes, you've got to acknowledge them, say hello, and wave.
Have you thought of anything
nice.
For that house that's going to burn down yet?
It's coming. You wait.
It's all
you
down
wait.
To you. Then.
It's a freaking giant of a punchline, I tell you.
And what's your secret, guys? Because you both, I mean, you're both in your mid-40s, you both look still, you know, I mean, if you turned up on kids' TV and said you were 20, people would be scared. But you both look still very, very young. Is that what? How have you managed to keep this youthful?
Exercise.
Yeah.
Exercise.
Yeah.
A bit of running. We just do a lot of running.
It's true.
And drink less than we used to.
Not much less. A little.
No, not much less.
But yeah, running. Actually, we realised just 2 half-an-hour runs a week. I know it's boring, but it's
so
true.
Dull.
You can eat what you want and drink what you want. And it kind of just keeps it off.
It really isn't as fun, but it's kind of beneficial.
And you do quite. You've both done charity runs, and you've done. Have you trekked the Great Wall of China?
Yeah, Great Wall of China. Cycled from London to Paris. Done the London Marathon. I know, crazy. Yeah.
What? How did you choose your charities? Was there?
I lost my mum to dementia at a very young age. She was like, that was during the bungalow, actually. So you can imagine it was a chaotic time, and that was happening as well in my personal life.
Yeah.
So now I do loads of charity funding for Alzheimer's Research UK, Alzheimer's Society. Yeah.
Terrific. Oh, well, that's a fantastic charity. Well done for that, guys. Well, look. I'm just gonna.
Are you gonna ask him about the house?
Which house?
Come on.
Well, it doesn't have to be a house, does it?
A building.
An edifice. It's going to be the final thing before this episode
finishes. You've got something.
I've got it.
Oh, I've got something ready to go.
I hope it's funny.
Well, wait. Yes. It's a building. Okay. You don't want to... Have you got 4 BAFTAs?
Yeah. But they're pretend ones. They're children's BAFTAs.
Oh, no, they're not pretend.
So they're like that big. They're that big.
They're made out of chocolate.
Yeah. Where do you keep yours? Have you got yours?
Chocolate teapot. Hey?
Have you got yours on display?
Yeah, I've actually put them up on the shelf.
Have you? Mine are in my hoodie cupboard.
What's a hoodie cupboard?
It's a cupboard with my hoodies in.
Anyone else got a hoodie cupboard? You've actually got a cupboard that just has hoodies in it.
Has anyone got a jumper cupboard?
No, well...
Raise of hand for a jumper cupboard?
No.
Oh, my God. No one's got a jumper cupboard. Where do you put your
Welcome
jumpers?
To the darkness. I was talking about.
Wait, where do you put your jump? Where do you put your jumpers?
In a drawer.
Yeah. Well, why am I weird for putting them in the cupboard?
Well, because you've actually got a cupboard. You said a jumper. What makes a hoodie cupboard?
Not even a jumper, a hoodie cupboard.
But what makes you not weird for putting a hoodie in something that slides into something, and then weird for putting a hoodie just in a cupboard?
Well, because you named it
a hoodie cupboard.
Are you not? Can't you hear yourself?
Okay, I keep my hoodies in the BAFTA cupboard.
Good. And Dick, you haven't fallen asleep. I understand you fall asleep quite easily.
I used to. I don't as much anymore, do I? Asleep.
No, now you don't drink as much.
I used to have to have the siesta 2 o'clock thing, or I couldn't operate after that.
Wow.
Just fall asleep on car journeys, on set, anywhere, yeah. I'm the master at power naps. 20 minutes.
That's with him around. Is that not a? I mean, I
oh yeah. Well, I don't know dangerous. Whether you've seen on social media. There was a period we went through where he'd find it hilarious to wake me up in all sorts
give,
of.
Give you a mind. You used to get like a spoonful of wasabi sauce and stick it in his mouth whilst he's asleep.
But the funniest part about it was actually the noises that I make. If someone wakes you up, you make these really strange noises, don't you?
Yeah.
I can't even recreate it.
Unlike any other time. Well, it was literally fear was the noise fear. That you were making. Because what I'd do is like we'd be in the back of a car and I'd fill up a glass with water and just throw it in his face. And so he'd wake up with ice cold water in his face and make this noise that would come in.
Kind of... probably basically the sound you make when you're just about to die.
But you don't do it as much anymore. Falling asleep.
No.
Yeah. So he's a good boy.
And Dom predicted you would need to go to the toilet during the.
It's podcast. Holding strong at the moment.
Well, that's good. Yeah. We've nearly finished.
I did
finished,
go 4 times before we started, but it's holding.
A small bladder. How's that on
the
a
weakest.
Tour? How's that on a tour show? That you can you can you? Does it?
Yeah, there's
does
something
Doctor
about
theatre. Not. That's what happens to me. I can go on stage and think I really need a piss, and then an hour will pass. And
yeah,
I'm all right.
No, you realise you pissed yourself.
I'm
pissed.
I'm 54. It's allowed.
Why don't I need a piss anymore? Oh, it's in my trousers.
Well, that used to be my party trick, didn't it? Anyway, no, we won't go there. Edit. It's doing all right. But you're right. As soon as you know something clicks in your brain, as soon as you're out here, you forget about it. But as soon as I'm off, I'll be
okay. In there. We'll let you get to the toilet before this audience. Right. I'll just ask you if you've got a building you want to burn down.
It'll be the last thing that's said. When
this going to be
this?
Going to be the last.
Stop! You are really bigging this up.
This is the last thing.
Do you remember what I said about those panel shows being funny?
Yeah.
This has got to be.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's going to be great.
Okay. Well, this is the time.
You're ending one of the best podcasts out there. One of the funniest podcasts out there.
I know.
With one word.
So, this is your moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The building that I would
you
like
dare,
to...
You dare! If you do what I think you're going to do.
That I would like to burn down is
Ladies, well done, fellas. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Second up. You have been listening to Raw Hollister with me, Richard Herring, and my guests, Dick and Dom. Thank you to Scant Regards for providing this music. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I am also indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, for all his hard work behind the scenes, and to George, the incompetent sound guy, who was incompetent in his incompetence this week and did a very good job. I would also like to thank everyone at the Phoenix for having us at there, and thank you to everyone who came to see this show. It was very exciting. We did Twitch of Fun afterwards. You should have been there. Come and see us on July the 11th if you want to see another one. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFosterStripe.com production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for fantastic downloads and books, and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out. That would be lovely. All right, RichardHerring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It will make me feel sad.